center of protests today in India. Although protesting doctors at All India Institute of Medical Sciences, RML, and the Federation of Doctors Associations all over India may have called off the strike, but doctors at R.G. Carr Medical Hospital here in Kolkata are continuing with their protests. They feel that justice delayed is justice denied. You can see massive posters having been put up. There is outrage, there is pain, there is agony. And above that, there is also, you know, multiple questions I would say that these doctors have on mind. Could she have been protected? Were there efforts made to ensure that this entire investigation doesn't see the kind of cover-up that the Supreme Court has spoken about? So even as the voices of students grow louder, voices of doctors grow louder, we are here to try and understand what are the issues, what are the doctors thinking after so many days, with posters demanding action and quick justice. I am with some students here who have been protesting for the last 15 days, relentlessly. The Supreme Court has made an appeal that all of you should call off the strike and return to your duty. Is there something that you are thinking about?
In the last meeting, GB meeting, we have decided not to stop the seizure work till right now. Because we expected from the CBI and the last hearing that we would get some positive or progress from the CBI about the case, but we did not get something, nothing about anything positive about the progress of the case or about the justice.
Fighting for her, seeking explanations, hoping that there'll be justice?
Yes, absolutely. Our finger crossed. Because we all, it's not about hope. It's all about getting our rights. Because it's not about the doctor. It's not about the PGT. It's all about our women. Our women live in Bengal, and a student or a doctor or a nurse in our renowned hospital. That's all. We all get this safety, this kind of safety, that we could work freely. That's all.
Okay, I want to understand from all of you, you know, in terms of what should be done. There are talks of a special task force, national task force, which will ensure safety, security for doctors such as you. What should be done to ensure protection of doctors?
What should be done to ensure protection of doctors? It is a multifaceted question. There are many answers, and there are already many drafts which are near central government, which are near IMA, which are near INMC. There is much to be done to ensure our proper safety, ensure our proper infrastructure to work safely. It is all said and done. But what we are focusing on this movement currently, that is to ensure justice is given to the to Abhoya. Justice is given to the lady who was tortured, who was killed, who was raped that night. So, at this moment, our prime focus is on justice.
And what, according to you, is justice?
Now the post-mortem report, which is in public domain now, it indicates probably there were multiple people involved in torturing her, in killing her. So, as a sign of justice, we want to see that that more than one people are arrested, and also I want to add there is a lapse in security, or there is some active or passive lapse in security which let this thing happen. So we also want to see that those holes are mended.
And you know, as protests continue, the fearless, this is the image, you know, this is the image which says that we want justice for, perhaps that cry is for each and every woman who has lost her life to heinous crimes. And that is that fight that is being fought by these students. Of course, there are multiple questions that are being asked, but largely the questions are also around the role of the principal of the college. Was there an attempt at cover-up as well? That's the question that I will be asking politicians now. Much water has flown in the Hooghly ever since that horrific rape and murder of the 31-year-old. But the anger and the pain is still palpable here in Kolkata. With me are some eminent personalities of the state, politicians and also doctors, political analysts. We are at the iconic Bengal Paddle, which is essentially India's only surviving British-era paddle steamer, which was built in 1945, and this has been restored by the barge company. Yesterday, the Supreme Court, I'm going to begin with the analysts and the doctor there, the Supreme Court was very categorical in highlighting the lapses. Where did the Bengal police go wrong? For all the cherry-picking which has been done by the ruling Trinamool Congress, do you think they need course correction? They need to look within in terms of, where it went wrong rather than looking at the judgment as some kind of questioning also of the BJP. Mr. Ghoshal.
I think you are correct. And irrespective of party line, now we should analyze the situation. Because number one, there is an organic response, organic movement of discontent. There are a lot of fault lines also. The number one priority should be the punishment of the rapist. And that should be the priority. But unfortunately, lot of politics, what Supreme Court has observed also, fake news. There are several instances of fake information, not only the semen issue, what Supreme Court also has said that you should not come with the social media's information. But I think now there should be a political consensus also. Because, it's not a West Bengal-centric incident. And I'm not saying that there is no role of the state government. I am not trying to dilute the performance of the government. But, what is your agenda? What is your priority? Priority should be the punishment of the rapist, proper inquiry.
Will there be political consensus? I'm going to ask that to politicians. But Dr. Paul, coming to you, this is a public hospital, yes. Where there should have been greater care for this doctor who lost her life. But what we see is that she, after completing 36-hour long shift, is raped and murdered in a seminar room. So absence of duty rooms, absence of basic infrastructure which is needed for keeping, doctors safe. Do you think it can lead to institutional changes, creation of those infrastructure which is so imperative here?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So I represent an organization called Protect the Warrior. So the main question is too many things are being discussed, but I feel personally the main issue is getting diluted. The first and foremost issue is when Abhaya was killed and raped, she was in government custody. She was doing a duty in a government hospital. So it is the responsible of the government and the authority to take care of her. And what you have asked is, yes, I do agree that we don't have adequate infrastructure for junior doctors and residents. They don't have proper duty rooms. Neither we had 25 years back. And now also they don't have a proper duty room.
12 years ago, in the same city where we are right now, the Park Street rape happened. The victim died a few years later. The questions were raised again on the role of the topmost at the government. You have a woman chief minister in Mamata Banerjee. She should have been more empathetic. In this particular case, she hits the streets. And yesterday, the letter that she has written to the Prime Minister is about that rape, incidents of rape are happening all over the country. there should be a larger care that should be taken for safety and security of women. Is that not generalization? When you generalize an event, then you actually dilute its you know, importance, or should I say the gravity of the situation?
Well, you know, I think as a politician, she is obviously going to try and do everything possible to dilute focus from this one incident, which has upset Calcutta in a way, which has upset Bengal in a way I've never seen before. And I've been working here for 40-odd years. So the question is, why is nobody, whether it's the Calcutta police or the CBI or even the Supreme Court, raising the question of why her? Why was this girl in particular raped and murdered? How was it really a random incident? If it was a random incident, then the issue of safety and security of all women employees in all public institutions,
yes,
becomes an enormously important question.
So let me come to this bench where we have an unusual combination of the BJP and the TMC representative. I'm going to begin with you, Krishanu. The question here is that it may be all very well for Bengal chief minister to showcase that she's a woman, and women happen to be her very core constituency, very integral to her politics. And of course, she's a street fighter. That has been the journey of the of Mamata Banerjee itself. But when it comes to important questions being asked by the Supreme Court, it cannot be about, safe, you know, protecting your police. The Supreme Court has asked huge time lag between discovery of the body and the lodging of the FIR. The death being called unnatural even after post-mortem examination. The sealing of the crime scene after more than 12 hours. These are important questions for which the Kolkata police has no answer. So instead of protecting them and defending their actions, shouldn't you be looking at right probe, that the probe should be in the right direction?
Yesterday's Supreme Court's deliberation was first started with a statement from the CBI, because yesterday's proceeding was supposed to be a submission by the CBI, a status report of its investigation in the past 10-11 days. So we didn't see anything from the CBI as to what investigation it has carried and how it has taken forward from where it has taken from the Kolkata police. So we didn't see, and the Supreme Court has observed that also.
Yes.
And in the next hearing, they asked the CBI to put their version of what investigation they have done so far. We have not seen. So there is a question against the CBI. As far as the initial question that was raised with regard to Kolkata police and the hospital administration, you see, questions were based on the report that was filed by CBI. This FIR thing that you are saying, or many people are saying, many media is raising this, whether it is a FIR, why at 11:45 at night, and so on and so forth. But the narrative against us was so strong, the fake news factory was so strong, that it was being portrayed everywhere. The police, there was no case registered, and the Supreme Court took the case from there only. Yesterday it was established that a general diary was registered at 10:10 in the morning.
But one observation which was made by the apex court was, let there be no politicization.
We were saying,
can you ensure that?
Ma'am, we are not those
so
who are politicizing.
Okay,
there
so
is those who are against
okay,
us
so
are politicizing.
Since
ma'am,
you are accusing
let them
respond.
Let me clarify four points that can be raised here also.
Okay.
And also there is in the public domain. Like, whether there is a single culprit or a multiple culprit. You see, it is subject to investigation.
That's right.
If you conclude in the very beginning that we will not accept anything less than 2%, then there is no point to go ahead with this argument. No. It is, let it be with CBI or Kolkata police. Kolkata police arrested one culprit within 19 hours of starting the investigation. Whether there is multiple others.
I think Dr. Shadrupa and Saira have to respond.
Let them
come in and then you'll
continue your point. Please go ahead.
Okay, wait, on your mic? Okay.
Yes, please.
Maria, first and foremost, let me start off with what Jayantada said and what Shikhadi said. This is a political matter. Why? I will come to that. But where they left off, yes, is because innumerable amount of people of all kinds, classes, genders, occupations, professions, everybody is out on the road, and not only in Kolkata, cutting across West Bengal, India, and not only in the medical community, mind you, everybody, across the world. So as the single largest opposition party, which is anyway going to act as checks and balances on the ruling party, it is we are bound to talk as the people's voice. We are respecting the people's mandate. Now, coming to the real situation, what has happened is, here we have a woman chief minister who is also the police minister, who is also the health minister. So let me tell you one by one as to why we are asking for the resignation of one person who has some three multiple personality facets. A health minister who has been there for 13 consecutive years did not think it necessary to put in CCTV cameras on the floor where this happened. Woman health minister, what Dr. Paul very correctly pointed out, that not only in RG Corps, I don't think any other government hospital even has general washrooms or restrooms for doctors on duty. Dr. Paul will be able to bear me out. Very recently, the same RG Corps complained of the women doctors sitting in a restroom or some room in the afternoon where some, alcoholic hoodlums under the influence of alcohol, they came and probably teased them. Nothing drastic happened, like rape. That was not warning enough. Shondip Ghosh, a lot of stuff is coming out, and I'm not talking about social media. In 2023, Maria, like I was telling you a little earlier, our Honorable State President, Dr. Sukanta Mojumdar, has given a list of some 13 discrepancies which were found. This letter was given to the Health Minister, the Mamata Banerjee, as well as the Governor of West Bengal. Nothing happened. Now Akhtar Ali comes out with a lot of things, which are, of course, this is the time to bring them out, I am sure. But this is now more coming out in more details. Now, Police Minister. You have a same Police Minister for 13 years, and the police commissioner goes on record. This is again not on social media. The police commissioner of Kolkata goes on record on the 14th after the rampage, where, mind you, so many police were there. 7,000 people came, ransacked RG Corps, and again on a camera, not even on social media, media camera. They were heard saying, let's go there, let's go to the seminar room, etc. I'm not even getting into the nitty-gritties. Here you have a police force, which is supposed to be the most esteemed police force, who did not act. They chose to hide in the nurse. Let me just finish. Nurses, bathrooms. So the police commissioner, after 40 minutes, comes on the scene and blames the media. He even says on camera, we don't have adequate resources. So a police minister who cannot give adequate resources to the police commissioner has no right to be in power. Chief Minister of West Bengal, because of her insensitive comments on regular, you started off with the rape incident on Park Street. Today, you have to understand, Maria, and this I'm telling all the people who are here, all the viewers who are seeing, this particular incident is not an act of lust. It's not that somebody hated somebody and this girl refused his love proposal and so he raped her. No, this incident has happened to a girl who was working in the safest place. Maria, for you and me, our workplace is our mandate. We are supposed to be safe there. The government is supposed to ensure our safety. So therefore, resign, Mamata. Yes, we are going to do politics because people want the resignation of Mamata.
But will the resignation of the chief minister solve the problem?
So thank you so much, Maria. Thank you to all the wonderful viewers. The point is, yes, I think it's time that the government steps down, because this is not the only scam. As you see, Mr. Akhtar Ali is unearthing a whole Pandora's box of medical, scam, what it looks like. If you look at the illicit trafficking of what has been alleged, that Mr. Sandeep Ghosh and his coterie of people were involved in the illicit trafficking of unclaimed dead bodies, okay, biomedical waste, which was sent as far as to Bangladesh. So there's a Bangladesh link also that is alleged. Then his, apparently, the main accused was part of his main security, security arrangement. So he was his bouncer at a point of time. So if you look at the allegations, they're not bizarre. There is a method to the madness, considering what is happening. So look at the way the principal, right, Mr. Sandeep Ghosh, has been repeatedly being transferred. He's now, moment he was removed, he was reinstated. Then again, he was reinstated, you know, to the government of West Bengal Health Department as the special, OSD. So I'm just asking, what is so special about this man that you can't tell him to sit,
Madam,
chill, take a break, let me finish. You can't tell this man to chill, take a break, let the jury, take a call on what is happening, let the trial take place, but you are, transferring him incessantly. So definitely there's a cover-up, and there have been, major attempts to protect this guy for whatever reason.
So why is the TMC trying to protect him? What makes him so special? What does he know that the girl knew?
I'm astounded to receive some new narratives about this whole case. Some are quite diabolic, some are extremely stupid. I'm sorry to say this. If this man is anyway...
The problem is that you cannot dismiss narratives as stupid, because when an incident of that nature happens,
I'll explain. We are basically, not dignifying the dead. We are maliciously speaking about the dead body from the very beginning, starting from that 150 grams, Siemens. I called out the doctor on a channel saying him that you were a devil doctor. Thereafter, he's, stopped appearing on shows, probably was called also by the Lal Bazar police. And when a doctor deliberately says this, and my hunch is that, Maria, these team of doctors, why did they go to the victim's house? Did they go to collect information and then spread in the social media? And I'm hearing also that the girl's picture, dead body's pictures were being circulated in the media, postmortem reports in a distorted version. Let us not talk all about this. Let us, for God's sake, have consensus on this particular... Madam, please don't stop me. For on this particular issue. Yes, there could have been, this thing could have been handled better. The transfer might not have been right. But let me ask you this question. Had the transfer been not right, how had that compromised the investigation? Two separate issues. And if the investigation was compromised, what is the CBI doing so far for the last 7-8 days? Even today, this person that you are talking about, he is being questioned. CBI could not do anything with this man. And this trafficking, again, why I'm calling it stupid, if this trafficking, that he was trafficking the medical waste, dead bodies.
Hang on. Let me just say that. Shikha Mukherjee asked a question specifically, why this girl? Do we have an answer to that?
The CBI has to find the answer.
Yes.
CBI has to know again. About this Bangladesh traffic. About this Bangladesh, who is manning the borders? If the medical waste are being trafficked to Bangladesh,
this is what we are,
dead
we're
bodies
talking
are,
about.
Dead bodies are being trafficked
way,
to Bangladesh.
Where, the way the is, chief minister herself, the police commissioner and such spokespersons are hell-bent on trying to... I don't care what you're speaking on.
I'm speaking merely...
They're hell-bent on trying to prove two things.
Do not dilute the issue.
One...
You are here to dilute the issue, madam. And that is the most pathetic part of the story.
Maria, there is a deliberate attempt to play down this whole thing. And then you have MPs and MLAs and spokespersons who are coming out on social media and saying, no, there's no gang rape. There's just one person who raped. Why? Covering up? Why is Chandeep Ghosh so important that you take him out of one
second? Let me finish. Monojeet says something about the doctors. What is the need for the doctors to go to the house and find out what has happened? Why not? She was their colleague, a junior colleague. They are well within their rights to go to the parents, go to the house and find out whatever information there is to find out what transpired that night. It is shocking that a doctor, you know, a junior doctor was killed and raped at her workplace. A workplace is supposed to be the safest place. It's supposed to be a place where, you know, people say work is worship. People say work is worship. She was raped. Murdered them mercilessly, and the Trinamool Congress is making concerted efforts to hide this hole and conceal the scene of the crime and protect, you know, protect the principal of the college. He's been shunted.
Others have to stop then. No, I cannot go, complete it in 30 seconds. Lot many questions were raised. Thing is that nobody is saying that we are going to absolve it or we are for absolve, we are not for justice. Nobody. Only an insane person will say that. Only an idiot will say that. What we are saying, we are also for justice. Even we were going to hand over the case, my leader, my chief minister has already stated, we are going to hand over the state within the next 4 or 5 days if the police report was not acceptable to all. But why this use of fakery in the garb of asking for justice? Like I said, what Saira told here, I, going back to 2001, a junior doctor by the name of Somen Bishas at the very RG Corps lost his life. The government and the college said it is a suicide. The students said it is a murder. What happened to that? CID said that they have to close down the investigation because the college and the hospital administration didn't cooperate. That was in the CPM era. And this same sex racket, drug racket thing, you go to the Times of India report of 25th of August in 2001, this was seen.
These allegations taken seriously.
No, we are not just right.
Mr. Akhtar Ali made the same allegations last year. It was all on deaf ears.
Madam, let me complete.
Why did the government take cognizance of the allegations last year?
Okay, there were laps. On that part,
the allegation was there last year.
On that part, I agree. It should have been taken up earlier.
Okay.
But what is the BJP's yardstick for these cases of heinous crime of rape and murder? Like you see, there is another person by the name of Baba Ram Rahim. He's not an alleged, there is no allegation against him. Okay, he's a convict. He's a convict of multiple rape and multiple
too much of whataboutery.
What
is the BJP doing to this?
We
are deviating from the topic.
These incidents are diluted by talking about other incidents of rape.
I'm going to wrap this up with
a reaction to come in from this lot of citizens who are watching it. You were talking about political consensus, ma'am.
Yeah, see, thing is, it is very much painful and frustrating the way we are being depicted as near future we will be labeled as conspirators. So she was our colleague and we consider our colleagues as our brothers and sisters. If my sister is raped and killed, so who will go? Who will go to her house? We'll only go. We'll go to my sister's house. We'll stand by her. We'll demand justice for her. Who else will demand? And whom do I ask the question?
Nobody is agreeing with that. That is his personal opinion.
We are not political party.
The law of the land has granted
let
him
me
the
finish
right
this.
Let's move on. We are not representing any political party.
And question we'll ask to the government. Whoever is in the power doesn't matter.
I don't know why you are defending fake news, sir. I'm telling you.
What is the point of doing this?
Madam, just you. Many of you, including him, raised the suicide thing. Just somebody has claimed that she has committed suicide. Okay. What police has registered on that very night in the FIR, it is mentioned murder, rape and murder. So
the suicide part
has been thrown out by the police
this
itself.
This is not very basic. The way the body was there, any police person or even a layman also will say it was not suicide,
okay.
It was murder.
Okay,
so this question is very unnecessary.
Police has registered a
Because someone called the girl's parents that she has committed suicide.
Why was that? Because as a doctor, everyone in a hospital knows what suicide is. We are trained in forensic medicine.
We all pass forensic medicine.
Case of murder and rape at that night, that very night.
That is a different question.
Why is it a different question? So the suicide thing police didn't take up. You are continuing to propagate that lie.
Because it was not possible at that time.
You are propagating the lie.
Jayanta Ghoshal and Shikha Mukherjee, I've come to the end of this discussion, please.
I think quarrel.
We were talking about political consensus. What is happening here is investigation, their view of investigation versus investigation view that is being shared by the doctors.
I respect pluralism. Yes. So different views. In fact, doctors are also not homogeneous. There are different views in doctors also. But I be that as it may, now what is our priority? You should be futuristic. Because you, when we are blaming Chief Minister, when we are blaming the governance, now the paramilitary force has taken over the RG Corps hospital for the security. Then CBI has taken over the investigation.
Supreme Court has taken over the case.
Now what is the priority? The first priority is to punish the rapist. And Chief Minister, if Chief Minister resigns, I mean, BJP, I mean, the governor can recommend 356 and after Supreme Court.
So it cannot be about political thing.
But that is not the solution. I don't think that is the solution.
Jayantoda, there have been 900 more rapes in between.
Sir, one moment. Shikha Mukherjee, my question is, you heard from all the sides.
Quality span globally, and it is India.
As a citizen, also as a political analyst, do you think this girl will get justice? That is my question now, because that's most imperative.
Isn't that what the Supreme Court is supposed to be doing?
Yeah. But then why should Supreme Court ensure and has to intervene on issues which are very, very law and order driven and driven by, which is supposed to be the responsibility of the state government?
Well, I think there are two issues here. One is there is no political no one who is a part of the political establishment, and that includes all political parties, regardless of color. There is a trust deficit. There is a lack of confidence in how ruling regimes run their governments. And this trust deficit is reflected in the way in which the Supreme Court has gone ahead and questioned the performance of the state government in this case. No, let me finish. Yes. Monajit, I just need 10 seconds of your time. The thing is that, as Jayanta very rightly said, demanding Mamata Banerjee's resignation is not the solution. Talking about Sandeep Ghosh is deflecting attention from the question that needs to be asked as a matter of public responsibility, which is the job of the opposition, which is, what is happening with the process of figuring out what happened to this girl?
Yes.
We all need answers. Shouting about Mamata Banerjee is not going to deliver that answer.
About these, you know, the graphic details, that the violent graphic details, especially some of the doctors, all doctors are gods, and all gods are not doctors. If Sandeep Ghosh is also a doctor, do you call him an angel? Similarly, I think this particular doctor who floated this theory about 150 gram cements, which was questioned by your media. This was happening on a live television. The anchor was questioning, and I said that you did not do the right thing. You should have apologized. So this, where lies the question of calling everyone a devil? He behaved like a devil. The kind of graphic details he was spreading, not just in social media, everywhere. And that was really maligning the victim,
really
the dead body of the maligning the victim. You can't do that.
End of this discussion, and we have two women here. 10 seconds to both of you.
Yeah, all I'll say is all of us are, you know, more than being political representatives or whatever, we are here as women. As a mother of two young girls, I want justice for Abhaya. And whatever it takes to ensure safer spaces,
absolutely,
and there should be no whataboutery, this rape, that rape, I think we should reach a consensus. And Mamata Banerjee should also be, you know, a very, very participative, you know, what do you call,
solutions.
Absolutely. Taker of the state and ensure that, you know, justice
is meted
out.
Politics happens because you are elected to government and you need to be the voice of the people. So here again, I have to state as a woman that injustice towards a woman as a means of punishment has been happening from Puranic times. And unless the society changes, it will not change. But what are we looking at? Here we are looking at a political leader who is a woman who has been in power for over 13 years with zilch zilch sensitivity towards women. Suddenly, this time she does a volte-face. Constantly, she has been justifying rapes by even justifying a 14-year-old rape, saying that find out whether she's having an affair.
All right.
Find out whether she's pregnant.
We need to move on.
This is a conspiracy.
So thank you so much.
This needs to change. We need our Chief Minister who is way more sensitive towards women.
Shikha Mukherjee, Manojit Mandal, Saira Shahelim, Dr. Shatrupa and Krishanu, thank you so much for joining us. The R.G. Carr Medical Hospital rape and murder is a grim reminder of sheer deterioration of the socio-cultural landscape of a state which was known for its rich heritage. I am with the students of Jadavpur University here in Kolkata to try and get you voices because they are the primary stakeholders. We have more women on this panel because after that incident, are they skeptical? Are they apprehensive of moving on the streets? Are their parents worried now that should they be stepping out at all? I want to understand from them as to what is the change and what is justice according to them. Your thoughts.
Basically, I'm from North Bengal and I'm one of the very few students in my department who are from North Bengal. And I'm from a very remote area and safety is a huge thing there. My parents trusted me with a lot of things to let me come here, study in Jadavpur. Now, I do not feel safe from day one because women are safe nowhere. I was not safe there. And now when I thought that I would be safe in my university, I'm not safe here either. Rape incidents, abuses, molestations keep happening and it just won't stop. So will we never get justice or equality?
So a great degree of, dejection, I would say, that nothing will move, nothing will improvise. What about you?
Largely, I think the question that lingers the most is that when were women really safe? When were they ever really safe? And what really comprises the idea of safe? Does it mean that nobody is going to touch us without our consent? Because as someone who commutes regularly in public buses, that is unimaginable. Whether it would be someone just trying to reach to the door, instead of grasping the handle, they choose to grab my shoulder. Things, incidents like that just keep on happening, and this has always been happening. And I think incidents like these, the ones that we are protesting for at the moment, incidents like rape and murder, these are at a much more severe stage than small incidents like this. Small incidents like these eventually lead to larger issues like these that ultimately make us come out on the streets to protest. We are not protesting out on the streets just because somebody grabbed our shoulder without our consent, but we are protesting rape. So I think it is my belief that if we cannot stop these incidents at the very root level, there is no matter how much we scream for justice, these are something that is, it is almost lingering in almost every other person. There are, how many women will we ever find who can say that they have never been touched or groped or even looked at without their consent?
Is there anyone here in the panel who will say that she has not been touched without a contest, without a consent? Everyone has been touched in an inappropriate manner without her consent. So what kind of society are we living in?
Yeah, I think the problem, as my friends have already pointed out, it's extremely deep-rooted. But I also want to bring to people's attention and very interesting thing that has also been happening in the past few days since the protest started. So we were just having this discussion amongst ourselves last day and yesterday, and people pointed out how the incidents have not been stopping by any sense of the word. In fact, if anything, every day when people are out on the streets, these incidents are very pervasive. In fact, on the night of the 15th, we got to know that an Adivasi woman, when all of us were joining the protest as part of the Reclaim the Night movement, an Adivasi woman in Bardhaman district of West Bengal, was brutally raped and murdered. But the interesting fact that I'm talking about is that I think there's been this upliftment in the consciousness of women in this particular, through this particular movement, in the matter of the past few days, when women, queer and trans people have become more vocal, and they're actually beginning to identify and speak out against this system, against how police and the state perpetrate rape, and how it is not possible to merely yell for justice, but also to build a particular framework, an alternate framework through which justice can be achieved.
So, okay, so when we talk about the idea of justice, and while we all agree that, you know, outrage, yes, but that doesn't really lead to change of the mindset. But what it does, it temporarily, it gives us channels to come out with our anger, because all of us are angry about what has happened. And incidentally, 12 years ago, I was covering the Nirbhaya rape in Delhi, and we had seen the similar kind of outrage which had spilled on the streets, not just in Delhi, but in other parts of India as well. Similarly, what happened in RG Kar is not limited to Kolkata alone. We are seeing protests in Delhi. We saw protests in Shimla, in Chennai and others. Do you think that this is about solidarity? This is about collective consciousness? And can change come only through collective effort?
In that case, I would like to say that obviously this is about solidarity, because we need to stand by the people who have suffered through these kind of problems, through this violence, through this sexual violence, I would say, because there is a huge sexual part to it. The thing is, what we need to do is we need to hold the state accountable for it. Because we saw that in a march, the Solidarity March, or the Reclaiming the Night marches in Mumbai, the Dalit community of Dalit women were not allowed in a protest because they were from an outside community. High upper caste women were like, we need this space for ourselves. Now, if we are not going for intercategorical feminism, then we are not doing it right, I guess.
Here is someone who was in her safe space. She was a doctor in a hospital, and she has been raped, assaulted in a seminar room in the absence of a duty room. And she had just completed 36 hours of duty. So, I mean, in what kind of world are we creating at all for women?
See, first of all, what I really feel is we actually need to hold the state accountable for it, because it is just not the rapist who have, or rather, I'm taking this as a plural for now, who have raped her, but it is also how deeply politically motivated it is, because we see how Mamata government has tried to cover up the entire situation through state-sponsored vandalism on the night of 14th of August, when we actually gave the call of Reclaim the Night. So it is just not the Mamata government, I guess, because it is not. I'm sure of it, because I have seen Unnao victim, Hathras victim, Kathua victim, where they have been, like, they were kids, and also the women who were raped in the BJP-led government. How there were rallies taken out in for of the rapist. How Bilkis Banu's rapist was released with garland. I mean, we need to question the government who is in the stakehold.
Then we also talk about the upbringing aspect of it. How are these boys being brought up? Is there, a sense of responsibility which is taught to them in their early years? Do you think there's a problem at multiple levels, in the sense that we cannot blame mothers for bringing up bad children, you know, who end up committing these heinous crimes? But where are women going wrong in their responsibilities also?
Of course, I think the patriarchy is such a deep-rooted concept that it affects, and it is internalized by women also. So I have seen, and it's very shameful, that the women who are themselves the victims of patriarchy themselves get abused. When it comes to their boys, they give the same attitude that they teach the boys. There's a lack of gender sensitization, that they don't teach their boys to respect other genders. And as many people are irrespective of gender, they are I mean, physically stronger, they try to dominate the less strong people. And I'm not talking about only women. I am talking about men, queer people, all. That the men who are physically strong, who stick to their, quote-unquote masculinity, often try to dominate and use their power to oppress other people. So I think that it is a very, internalized concept, and it is needed to be uprooted from the deep.
The society has to stand up and say that we want women in the workforce. They cannot be just seen as a secondary participants.
Yes, as everyone said, we need to hold the state accountable. We need to hold the government accountable. When a woman goes to a workplace, when a woman goes to work in a 9-to-5 job, or even more than that, the government needs to provide the safety and security that she needs there.
What should state do? Because we have spoken about multiple aspects of it, but if a state is failing you, what we have seen right now is that the Supreme Court intervenes and takes suo motu cognizance. These are issues of governance. You know, safety, security of women are the issue of governance. Policing is a state matter. Law and order is a state subject. Then why should the judiciary remind state of their responsibilities, of their primary duties?
The first thing I would like to say to that is I think the state is incompetent. The state government is incompetent regarding this matter, because like you said, like the police and the like judiciary has to intervene. Firstly, the state, the woman, the RG Court case that happened, like you mentioned earlier, that she was in her workplace. So when I'm in college or when I'm in any workplace for that matter, I should be ensured the safety, that nothing would happen to me there. As women, when we walk the street or when we take the buses, we feel unsafe there. We feel very unsafe there, be it walking at nights. And that is also something I feel is state's responsibility, to make us feel safe on roads, be it walking on the roads at 2 a.m. If I want to walk out at 2 a.m., I will. So I think that is also a state's responsibility. And the state is not only failing at that, they're also failing at ensuring that we are safe in our own workspaces or be our own universities for that matter.
That case, what role can men play in terms of being allies, or will they be, you know, equal participant in realizing their responsibilities?
I mean, we are talking about the state over here. I feel like whichever government comes into power, whichever political party is there in the power, I do not genuinely feel like they will do anything to correct this matter. They will not at all help. Because they need to satisfy their own needs, and whatever their own needs are, they will go to any extremes to suppress whoever is resisting. So I feel like the state power is useless. But what I genuinely feel is that the patriarchal society that we're living in right now, men, the objectification of women is so generalized and so normal. Like, we have mostly female-oriented slurs every time we are to abuse a man. Let's say we are cursing a man out. It's about their mother. It's about their sister. And I think, like we're talking about the uprooting of the patriarchal concept, I think they should be taking this initiative where they refrain from such, I don't know, involvement, where they curse their person's mother out, a sister out, where the woman is put at a pedestal, where they are shamed for bringing up a man like that. And I think this protest, the Reclaim the Night, I think it was supposed to be a woman's night. And the men who think that I was there to protect the women, to support the women, I feel like one rally, one protest, which is so widely propagated or so widely called upon, I think only that one rally is not supposed to change our mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How can women be free from the fear of violence? I have just enough time for both of you.
Again, it is like a question that has to be answered with a question. Can women really be free from violence and and similar incidents. I think, as you had mentioned before, we talk about the upbringing. How are these boys or these, whatever these, I would not like to call them humans, whatever these creatures are that do commit crimes like these, how are they brought up? I think even when we talk, the first thing when we talk about upbringing is that, oh, how their mothers raised them. It is not the responsibility of the mother alone to raise them. Their father or any other parent that they have are equally responsible. Again, this is how deep-rooted patriarchy sits in our mind. And to answer the question of whether how women can really ever...
Can they be free from fear, you know?
Can they ever really be free from fear? I think it lies in the mind of the people that surround them. It is something that is a state of mind. It is a social issue. It is a political issue. And it has to be tackled in a similar manner. As Borshadi mentioned, that... These movements, whether we reclaim the night, whether we reclaim the day, whether we reclaim the afternoon, or rather any time of the day, it is not something that is going to assure us a long-term assurance. It is not a long-term assurance at all. It is something that has to be tackled every day, every moment, and something that has to be essentially placed into people's mind.
If I may add, the Reclaim the Night movement started off as Reclaim the Night, but today the Reclaim the Night movement stands as Reclaim the Night, Reclaim the Rights. So I think what my friend Romani was trying to say, that we have to hold the government accountable through a clear intervention of women and the people in policy making. Okay, but if you leave it to the government entirely, then the government and the state's idea of protection is through surveillance of women. The government's idea of security is through a narrative of protectionism. I'm reminded of Thangjam Manorama, who was raped by the paramilitary forces. I'm reminded of women who are Adivasi Dalit women who are raped every day through the in a state-sanctioned manner by paramilitary and police forces. So I think, which is where we have launched this particular movement, and we are trying to reach out to women, not just from the metro cities, but across villages and districts, so that they can come, formulate a demand set of their own, so that we can actually go into a long-term movement. I feel change is possible only through long-term movement. And while we identify that there's something extremely fundamentally wrong with the state structure, the system, we also have to hold the government accountable. And that can only happen if we formulate grassroots demand and push for change through the means of a long-term grassroots movement.
Okay, so with that, we have come to the end of this discussion. And, you know, we are in the land of Rabindranath Tagore. How about ending it on optimism and ending it with some lines from Tagore?
Guner porushuni chhuau prane e jibon punno koro e jibon punno koro Jibon Purno Koro Dohon Dane Aguner Porushmuni Chhuau